Rock and rolling.
Kale's on the headset.
All right,
we're getting the shit done quick today, son. This is actually going to be our second attempt at this podcast.
The what?
Second attempt at this podcast.
Oh, we're doing the same one? Okay.
Well, because last week I got a phone call in the middle of the podcast because we're very high tech with the phone podcast.
I'm just saying, I mean, if I'm a bed man, there's going to be another phone call in this podcast. It's going to be from the same person that knows we do this every week.
So I'm just going to listen to this. Kaylee did not call me. It was a spam
call. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was going to say that for it. I'm going to be a PG early on. I messed it up for some reason, when somebody calls me, the podcast stops. And it takes a second. Like, it kind of processes for like 3 or 4 seconds. And then you click save.
Uh-huh.
Well, for some reason, I clicked the X out of the podcast and just completely just like wiped out the whole podcast. And we were, probably 40 minutes in this podcast.
We were into it.
And so this will be our second go around. We had our predictions for 24.1 last podcast, which nobody heard.
I don't think we were right.
No, we were not right whatsoever. Yeah. I said a fight gone bad style workout.
Yeah.
And I forgot what your year was.
What did I say? I either said couplet or triplet, but that was all I said.
Which couplet was obviously.
I mean, which was kind of right, but like.
I think I kind of said, as we kind of broke it down, I think I did say more than likely the couplet is going to be a shorter time domain.
Yeah, which it was.
For the most part, for most people, I mean, you do have people that took it, close to 15 minutes for the workout, which I wouldn't consider that a short time domain at that point.
Or you're Colt Mertens and you do it in 5:19.
Dude.
Impressive.
That's, I mean, what. But also the guy's like 5'2".
I mean, he's however tall he is, but impressive.
What'd you think about the workout?
I thought it was a fun workout. I thought it was a cool workout. Everybody could do it. And I think that was your shuttle run burpee pull-up from last year. Like, most people are going to be able to do that one.
That was more, in my opinion, more friendly
than
the shuttle run burpee pull-up workout.
Sure. And I thought the shuttle run was a bad workout. Mm-hmm. That was a tough one.
Just because the burpee pull-up obviously limited some people out who can't do a pull-up. Even if it's a burpee pull-up, you can kind of jump into the pull-up, but still limited a good portion of people to not be able to do that with RX. And for the most part, you had a good margin of people who could do the RX or pretty close to RX.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think it depends on what context you're speaking on the workout as to if it was a good workout or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was.
I think in this particular stage for the first workout, I think it was a good call.
Sure, sure. I don't think it was the best test, I would say, for like your top end guys or girls.
Well, because you kind of, because we had
a whole, yes, it was a good workout.
Yeah, because you had, me and you both seen this guy, had posed the question on Instagram because he had a member at his gym who, and he kind of explained his background as a nurse, just does the normal class workout, does no extra work shift work, just normal Joe Schmo, so to speak, but did the workout in sub 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And, his question was, do you think it's more impressive for a man or for a guy who does normal class workouts, does no extra work, to be able to do sub 7, or a games athlete to go sub 6? Which one was more impressive? And we both usually concur. I think it was more impressive for somebody who's like a Joe Schmo to go sub 7 on that workout.
100%.
Games athlete going sub 6. You got to think, like, I don't know how many guys actually went sub 6. Probably, what, less than 20?
I mean, it was not a lot.
I think it was less than 20 people went.
I don't even think it was a full page on the website.
Now, if you look at like the top 50 athletes, I know most of them were 6 and above on that top 50. So I would probably, if I had to go back and actually check it, but I would say probably less than 20 people did less than sub 6. So say this guy was in the reaching arms distance of most games athletes is pretty impressive. But also the devil's advocate there is to say, if somebody like that is able to
be that close
to a games athlete, is it really that good of a test? And so, because really that test in particular, for the most part, really came down to burpee speed.
Yeah.
And it almost is a singular movement to a degree, because the dumbbell snatch at the end of the day was really the afterthought of that workout.
And most people did the dumbbell snatches unbroken.
Yeah, pretty close to unbroken. And so, I mean, if you probably, I wish I would probably have taken somebody's like workout and then timed it out, the amount of time they spent on burpees compared to the amount of time they spent on dumbbell snatch.
That'd be
and like percentage breakdown, like how much time was actually spent on burpees compared to the dumbbell snatch. And I'd be willing to bet it's probably 80%+ of the time was spent on burpees compared to the snatch.
Sure. I mean, just the round of nine alone, I mean, you're probably doing 18 snatches in 30 seconds.
Because I think, I know an alternating dumbbell snatch is about 2 seconds roughly a snatch, right? I know this, when you're doing it all in one arm, it's slightly faster, mm-hmm. right? So you're probably like between like 1.8 and like 2.4, sure. Like, yeah, whatever it may be.
Cutting decimals, right?
Yeah, but you know, if you kind of do the math on it, you probably spent a total, if you did it unbroken, you probably, I mean, it's what, 90 total snatches? You spent literally a minute and a half of your workout
doing snatches
compared to, let's say the average time of that workout was 10 minutes.
You put a lot of time
that's,
on burpees.
That's 85% of your time was on burpees, right? And so it's really kind of, I guess it kind of be more of an argument is like, is that the best test of fitness? In context, in that one, I don't know if you can say like, is there one test to say this one individual test is probably the best test for fitness? No. Because probably you take the three workouts as a whole, it'll probably fit in nicely. If I had to assume, you would hope they would do that to where the three workouts as a combination are a good test, not just as one individual test. But for the most part, came down to one individual for the most part. It really came down to the cycle speed of the burpee, which obviously favors a shorter athlete especially.
I wish they'd done like a 20-minute AMRAP of 21, 21, 15, 15, 9, 9.
Of just dumbbell snatch and burpee?
Just dumbbell snatch and burpee.
Oh, God.
I feel like that would have been like a more of a, you could actually see the differences.
I would argue and say a better test would have been, say you do that same context, kind of what you're saying, but you double the dumbbell snatch and do 42.
Okay, so you just have the dumbbell snatches. Yeah, you know, kind of even it out.
To kind of even out the burpee to the dumbbell to a degree. I think you balance it out a little bit better, a little bit more sweet spot, because then now you're probably talking that you're probably pretty close to 50-50 in time on both of those movements.
Or what do you think if they just did 50-40-30-20-10?
Basically, like the 17.1.
Or like 10 up to 50.
Basically, 17.1.
Yeah, just normal burpees.
Which is 17.1, essentially.
I feel like it would be a little bit.
But also burpees, 50 burpees?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, God, 150 of them?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That could be cool. That
would have been a lot longer of a workout.
That would have been a lot longer.
For sure. So, predictions for this week. You said back squats.
I don't know why I think back squats. I think that's just like something I have in my head. I'm just like putting it into the world. But
well, Austin just came walking off. He's like, what do you think it's going to be? And I said, man, it's so hard to make a prediction, especially now, because now it's just only three workouts. The more workouts that came out, especially when it was five, as it got further into the weeks, you had a better shot.
Idea of what's left.
Now you have process of elimination. Like, okay, they've done this movie, they've done this movie. You kind of slash off the list a little bit. And the earlier weeks were always harder to predict. I said that open workout, the power clean, total bar, wall ball workout. It might not be a complete repeat. So
I would like if they did a repeat. They already kind of teased bringing a repeat back from 2011 with that announcement anyway, with that 5-minute AMRAP of short ground overhead. I'm like, I feel like they could definitely do that, and that would be a good test.
With a squat clean thruster?
No. I'm talking about the one you're talking about. The power clean.
Oh, I think it's a 20-minute AMRAP, 5 power cleans at 145, 100 pounds for the girls, 10 total bar, 15 wall ball, which I think is a nasty little test because the volume is. The volume is relatively low on each individual movement that you would be tempted to try shoot for unbroken throughout the rest of the workout, you know. I think for most people, probably a smart move would be breaking up everything from the beginning and doing singles on the cleans. Probably doing like, I'll see fast singles, probably doing like 5-5-6-4 on the total bar and like 8-7 on the wall ball for most individuals. But your top tier people are basically zooming unbroken the whole time.
Same concept.
Yeah. And so, it'd be, I highly doubt that will be the workout, but you would, because Austin was kind of, like I said, asking me, and he's like, well, you probably have a little better knowledge than me on what it could be. And like, and usually my thought process when it comes to like predicting, especially as multiple weeks are coming by, I say, okay, the first thing I look at is like, okay, how long was this workout? And if I had to be willing to bet, the average score of this workout was, if you took like everybody in the whole entire world, was probably between 10 and 12 minutes on the average. So you're saying, okay, they had a low to medium time domain. I'm like, so, but the top tier guys were like in the 5-6 minute slow, range, right? So that's considered a faster time domain. So I'd have to consider that this one would have to be potentially 15 minutes plus, potentially.
15-ish. So every faster time is like 12-ish.
Yeah. And you kind of, you had the hinge with the press of the burpee. So you know, you could possibly say a squat this week as a potential factor to that. You would have to think, because that was such a body weight, even though it had a dumbbell, but it was very much a body weight favored workout, that you would have to think that there would be a little bit weight loading this week to counterbalance
that. They like doing like heavier or like maxes week two though.
Traditionally, they
have like week two max. Is kind of like,
and it could be a heavier week. Yeah, and it could be like last year, I think, what 23.2, where they had the shuttle run burpee workout, and then they had the max thruster thereafter.
I enjoy those. Yeah, so kind of fun.
That could be a potential that they do.
That's a way for them to also get another test in there.
Yeah, they kind of sneak that in there.
Deals, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, I think I would love to see back squats. I think that would be cool. I think everybody
would do back
squats. Super simple.
Yeah.
Never done it in the open, but I think they've done it in the qualifiers for like some age groups. But also like, I don't know. For some reason, I would love to see like a power clean or just like something super, just something simple.
For the workout?
Yeah.
I keep waiting for them.
Or a kettlebell. Like I think a kettlebell is possible.
Kettlebell in what way? They're not going to kettlebell swing.
See, I don't see why. Like, I understand that it's like a shitty standard, but it's not going to put that past them.
It's a shitty competition
standard.
There's too many, variants of the movement. There's too many things to look for in the movement, I think.
I'm not putting it past them to do that though.
Potentially no, but I think you're gonna hear a lot of bitching if they do.
Sure.
The movement standards are gonna be some
poor. Which every year they have some bitching about something.
But I keep waiting for them to do a simplistic, so doing a max, let's say I do so often, or a complex of some kind, doing some type of max gymnastics test.
Yeah, oh okay.
I don't know why they've never done that in the open.
Yeah.
Like max chest to bar pull ups unbroken, max bar muscle ups unbroken, or ring muscle ups, or hand, whatever it may be, max, you know, distance handstand walk in 5 minutes. Or
something like
give,
that. Give
you know, whatever example you want to choose, but I don't know why they've never done like a straight up max. They do like a max, you know, clean, max snatch, whatever it may be, but they never do like max reps of unbroken gymnastics.
I don't even know if I've ever seen them do that in like games.
The only thing I know in years past,
like,
I've done
programming like high volume amounts of gymnastics.
Well, like you could say, like, you know, 7 minutes of max burpees is a max gymnastics test, so to speak. That's not really the same thing. That involves a little bit more of a cardiovascular conditioning standpoint than I do. Than,
that's a bad test, though.
Yeah. But they've done, like, I think when it comes to like a gymnastics test, like in 2011, I know they did a one rep max weighted chest to bar pull up.
Okay.
And I know they did like a max L-sit.
In the open?
No, in the games.
Okay.
But in the open, I know like, I know the year they did the COVID semifinals, and they were doing it people were doing it at their gym, they did like a max handstand hold in like a box.
Okay.
Right, they've done like some little things like that, but when it comes like, but like the open itself, they've never done anything like that. They've always, and maybe because a barbell has a lower entry level, I guess, because everybody can do a power clean, right? Regardless if it's, you know, an empty barbell or 300 pounds, everybody can do a power clean, right? Compared to everybody, you can't do a pull up, right? As an option there. But I am surprised at this point, like, we're, was this the 2011 was the first, it was just the 13th open, 13th, 14th open that they've done, that they've never done that in the open.
Yeah.
But
I don't think they will.
Or
if
even
they did.
Or even to something simple like 2K row for time.
See, I could see him do some. I could see him doing something like that.
Which they did that before. Like, I think the year also, the semifinal year for COVID, I think they did a 2K. Or is it a 1K or a 2K for time? I think it was a 1K.
I think it was 1K.
1K for time.
I think I remember people finishing.
Like 3 something.
Yeah, like fast.
Like low, like 319, something like
crazy
that.
Crazy fast.
Yeah. They're holding like 130 paces.
Like crazy paces. Like, yeah. People are like falling off the road, or yeah, like literally just like worming around.
But I'm surprised they haven't done something like that before. You know, it's not necessarily the most fancy looking test in the world, but I'm surprised they haven't. Instead of always like doing,
I would enjoy
max,
something like that though.
Yeah, like a 2K row of some kind.
2K row. Do you think they ever put a bike in the open?
We were having that discussion the other day. Like, somebody said, I think they're going to throw a bike in the open. I'm like, the only reason why,
but I just
don't, I'm hesitant about them throwing a bike.
Not every gym has bikes, you know?
Not every gym has bikes. And then two, there's so many different brands of bikes.
Yeah.
That read differently, right? Like, I mean, just like, you know, and you've gone on that assault bike compared to that echo bike, it's a big difference.
It's a game changer.
I would have to assume if for some reason they decided they were going to throw a bike out, it would have to be the Echo bike. Just because that's a little bit more, you know, 5 years ago it was the assault bike. But now, because Rogue is the official sponsor and whatnot, you would think that that would be the bike that they would say, okay, this is the standard bike that you have to choose from.
Like, I guess when you're like saying row, like it's most people are
C2 just bike. Have a concept. It's a CT row, right? It's the same concept, or I would think they would do the Echo bike as the standard, but I just don't know if they're going to do that just because of the fact that most gyms either A, don't have bikes, or they have different brands of bikes that are, and they don't have Echo bikes at all. So I just don't think that's going to be the thing.
That's true.
And like some people say like, oh, they're going to throw out like a 4 meter run. No. Once again, they're not going to do that either because there's too many external factors where
can't video a run anyway.
Can't video a run. You got some gyms who have to run up a hill, downhill. Even like weather factors, like, you know, like for us tomorrow, we're supposed to have bad rain.
It's supposed to pour.
It's supposed to pour down rain. Like, I mean, it's a humongous factor if you have to do 4 meter runs and then do bar muscle ups. Like,
sure.
There's too many external factors at play that would, you know, give people an unfair advantage over others that I don't think they'd ever throw that in there as well. But anyways, moving past the kind of the open talk a little bit. So the topic of conversation we talked about last week before the podcast got deleted was what we found to be more important for people to put their focus in on to improve their overall performance in the gym. Would it be improving their endurance or improving the strength was more at the top of the conversation. Uh-huh. And I know at first you kind of said, originally you kind of said endurance a little bit to a degree.
Yeah.
But then, and we'll kind of explain.
Kind of get into that. Yeah, the reason why I said the endurance part was, it kind of depends. Like, I want to put you in pools, I guess. Like, if you take somebody just off the street, never done anything in their life before, and they're coming into the gym, I feel like the cardio side is what is the limiting factor a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take somebody that maybe did sports in high school, lifted here and there, right, has general strength, and they're coming inside, most of the times they can get through a CrossFit workout and still be in that, like, average scoreish range, right? Which comes in the part where, like, strength is probably the limiting factor in a lot of points. But kind of like my point was, like, just a normal person just coming off the street, when we do, like, phase one testing, if you don't know what phase one testing is, pretty much doing some version of Fran or like a burpee or like jumping pull-up version of Fran or like a Diane, which is like deadlifts and push-ups, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and say 75-80% of people that come and do that don't finish that workout.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up dying and they end up hurting. And so like the first like month, even 2 months, 3 months of CrossFit, they're in that like yellow to orange area a lot of times on the cardio side. But eventually, I think that cardio side gets caught up faster than the strength,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of where the strength kind of comes into play at that point in time.
Yeah, and I went with more the strength being the thing most people lack in. Mm-hmm. And so kind of using your example of when most people come into the gym when they first start, right? Like, especially most people don't have an extensive workout background, right?
Sure.
They haven't worked out in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, or maybe they've worked out inconsistently over the past couple of years, that obviously they're deconditioned and they're weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go through the general tests with them, they struggle because kind of refer to the phase one process is basically the first block of level method where we do the upper body pull test, we do the front squat test, and we do the lactic tolerance test, right? So you have a relative strength test, an absolute strength test, and you have a conditioning piece. And I would say probably 90%+ of the time, most people can't do a strict pull-up when coming in, right? And then when it comes to the front squat, right, most people, even males, are not doing more than 100 pounds,
sure,
right, at any point in time. And then obviously they get into the conditioning piece, and they're hurting pretty good afterwards, right? Like either A, they don't finish the workout, or you have to give them a very, what most people would consider a very watered down version of Fran,
yeah.
Right? Like they're doing bodybuilders off a 30-inch box and they're doing jumping pull-ups, right? And it's completely sucking the life out of them. And the 10% of the time when you have somebody who has some type of lifting background consistently and then you bring them into the gym, like they're able to do pull-ups, if not weighted pull-ups, mm-hmm. and they're able to front squat a decent load, right? Like even for a male, like over 200 pounds maybe at the time. And then they get into the workout. Yes, they're hurting, but they're still able to, more often than not, still get through the workout okay-ish compared to somebody who maybe has more of an endurance background where now they're lacking in all three of these phases and you start introducing external load while having a high heart rate that they have a tendency to really die off as well. And so I would say and usually what happens with most people when they're in a, because obviously you would say, you know, when most people would say when they're doing CrossFit or looking outside of CrossFit, like it's a conditioning, more of a conditioning program than it is like a strength program. And so naturally people, when they're in the middle of the workout and they're dying, they're breathing really hard and heart rate's really high. It's like, oh, my conditioning really sucks. And so the tendency is to, people want to, quote unquote, to try to improve or get better at CrossFit is they want to do more conditioning, right? They want to do biking or rowing or running to improve their cardiovascular output, thinking that that's what's going to, you know, give them the edge to improve their scores. And I would say for most individuals at our gym, probably close to 90% of these people would probably actually more benefit from increasing their strength than their cardiovascular conditioning. And then there is a way to, we're going to kind of play devil's advocate a little bit to a degree where muscular endurance starts to come more of a play than necessarily absolute strength, right? Because most people, obviously, they lack, especially females, lack in more of the relative strength category, right? They can't do pull-ups, they can't do push-ups, they can't do a handstand push-up. And so, obviously, improving these things first would go a long way so then improving their performance in workouts, right? And then for a lot of males, for instance, like maybe they lack in the Olympic lifts or just even their absolute strength numbers still aren't as high as maybe they should be, right? Like they're not, they're back squatting 225 pounds when it'd probably be a little more advantageous. They're squatting closer to like 315, right? As options. And so spending more time in that bucket first than to say, okay, I'm going to go spend, you know, 20 minutes on a rower or 20 minutes jogging outside. That would have more carryover. But particularly in CrossFit itself, that's not very often that, you know, you're just testing just one rep max things, right? Like we're not necessarily just a strength, like powerlifting, right? It's like you're just testing strength as an absolute piece. But for like CrossFit, you're not just more often not just doing one deadlift, sure, right? You're doing, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 deadlifts in a workout at, you know, let's say potentially at 30 to 40% of your max as an example. Well, if that percentage is like closer to like to 80% and you're doing it for multiple reps, you're going to be a lot worse off, right? Yeah. Compared to having somebody who has a higher ceiling of strength. It's not necessarily one-to-one, but they're going to at least be better off compared to somebody who's pushing closer to their absolute max limit, right? If my max deadlift is 275 pounds and the workout costs are 225, but a person who has a 275 pound deadlift, it's definitely going to be a disadvantage compared to somebody who has like a 405 deadlift, sure, right? Like that's automatic. Even though this person may have a higher cardiovascular output, the guy who has the 405 pound deadlift is more than likely going to have definitely an advantage of that because now the percentage of the warm max is lower compared to the other guy, right? That's pretty straightforward. But it's not always just a straight one-to-one ratio. Just because you're stronger doesn't mean all of a sudden now you doing deadlifts in a workout are just going to be so much easier, right? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily correlate directly like that. Like I used the example like this before where, sorry, Seth, I doubt Seth's listening to this conversation, but so it's a primary example as to how this works out. This is probably 6-7 years ago now. The workout that day was a warm max snatch, and then the workout was Randy.
Okay.
So if you don't know what Randy is 75 power snatches at 75 pounds to the guys, 55 pounds to the girls, right? So you're talking like absolute warm max strength and then muscular endurance with Randy. Same movement, just different outputs. So Seth had one of the better snatches in the gym. I mean, Seth was an extremely athletic dude, very fast twitch muscle fiber guy, very strong. I think he power snatched like 235, 245, like, which especially back in the day, that was really, really strong, right? So probably at the time had, you know, for especially a normal class goer, highest snatch in the gym. And probably had the slowest time of 90.
Yeah.
Right? Like completely imploded and just got destroyed. Even though strongest snatch in the gym and percentage-wise, like 75 pounds compared to 245 pounds, very low.
Biggest gap out of the gym.
Yeah, biggest gap between what percentage of that is. Probably the lowest percentage of someone's warm max compared to anybody else in the gym, compared to somebody who's maybe snatched 155 pounds that day, right? Who's literally, that's 50% compared to, you know, Seth's 25%. And so it's going to show you that how much the difference that can be, that just because you increase your absolute strength doesn't necessarily that's going to have direct correlation over to having improved workouts, right? And so it's once you get to a certain level of absolute strength to a degree, it's like, okay, now it's kind of switching gears into more the muscular endurance side of things. Like you could always still improve your top end threshold and that will still have some carryover, not direct correlation always, especially depending on what your end goal is. Because if you kind of like, you look at quote unquote, like the sport of CrossFit, right? Like if you look at each individual level, let's say you have like the CrossFit Games, a semifinal, a quarterfinal, like a normal open person, as to kind of like, depending on where you want to finish at, like they would, you would probably have general breakdowns. Like for instance, like if you want to be like a CrossFit Games athlete, you probably need at least back squat 450 pounds plus, mm-hmm. right? For a semifinals athlete, probably 405 pounds plus. For somebody who makes quarterfinals, probably 315 plus, you know. And then for a normal open person, say to try to finish in the top half of the open, like top 50%, you probably need a back squat 185, 225 pounds plus, right? As an example. So you can kind of see how the correlation goes from each individual level, like from the extreme down to the regular open standard of how the top end strength kind of varies from person to person. But once you're able to get your top end threshold to a level that's maybe acceptable with the range that you want to go into, then it would be working towards the muscular endurance side.
Like once you get to 450, like 455 is not going to be that big. It's not going to make that big of a difference.
Exactly, right? Like if you're...
And it might take you a year to get 5 pounds.
Yeah. More, right? If you're squatting 450 pounds, me getting a 460 pound back squat isn't going to improve my performance all that much anymore. Compared to if it's 225 pounds. Yeah, that's going to make a huge amount of difference. And so it's more working towards muscular endurance. And so it doesn't mean that, like in kind of the flip side of this before we go into muscular endurance, that just because I go now and run and I row doesn't mean also now I'm improving my muscular endurance. I may be improving my muscular endurance in just that one individual aspect of like just running and just rowing maybe, but that's not necessarily going to have correlation over to directly to CrossFit, right? Sure. Just because I go run a lot now doesn't mean all of a sudden now I have better squat endurance per se. You're actually going to have to now work inside of that realm of like squatting endurance. Because more often than not in CrossFit, right, you're not normally just doing like two squats. You're doing, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 squats, 100 wall balls at a time, 150 balls at a time. So it's improving that squat endurance. And so there's multiple ways to go about doing this, right? Like the concepts are few, the methods are many, where you can get to the same route, taking 18 different routes to get there. But like an example of that is like doing sessions that would involve very much high compounding aspect of the quads being taxed very rapidly, very quickly, multiple times, right? As like, so an example of that could be, you know,
use your example from this week.
Like, so like example that I did like this week for me was every 2 minutes for 10 minutes, 15 calories on the concept two bike with a damper 10 into 20 wall balls, mm-hmm. right? Rest the remaining time. So because you're getting that lactic buildup in the quads by pre-fatiguing yourself from the bike and then going directly into the squat, that will have correlation over to improving squat endurance, right? And that's just one of thousands of examples like that you could choose.
7 minute imam of like 8 back squats.
Or, right. Yeah. You know, like in, something like that. Let's say maybe you would do it. Basic. Yeah. And you could do something at like a higher load and like higher load of percentages where, like I know even Terry said one time he did a 10 minute imam of 10 back squats at 225. So maybe that's a way of work on squatting endurance, right? Like that would be another form of squat endurance work, right? It could be, like I said, there's multiple different forms of doing it. Like I think like next week I'm maybe going to do one where it's like six back squats at 30% of your back of your warm max, rest 30 seconds, 24 jumping lunges, rest 30 seconds into 24 dumbbell thrusters.
Okay.
And then rest like 3 or 4 minutes between each one of those sets, and do like 3 or 4 sets of that. And so it's just, that's an example of working on one individual plane of one thing. So like more often than not in like CrossFit, right? You're having like, as an example of, let's say Wednesday's workout where you had the mild structure movement, the crossover single, you had the V up and you had the chest bar pull up, right? You're not just working on just pulling the whole time, right? Like your midline's getting taxed, but it's getting taxed because of the fact you're having to hollow and arch to the chest bar, and then you're going to the V up, right? So that would be maybe a little bit more of a midline endurance test than a pulling endurance test, right? But there's multiple different facets happening in that one workout, right? Okay. So, but you might be limited in that one individual session. So an example of that, like say maybe somebody's in that workout and their midline endurance is great, but their upper body pulling endurance is bad. Well, then maybe the chest bar pull-up is your limiting factor, sure. Right? Compared to somebody who has great pulling endurance, but now their midline endurance is not as great, and then the V-ups would be their limiting factor, right? So depending on each individual athlete, and most people probably know to a degree where they excel or don't excel at, where they would need to work on. Like, I think like last week we used an example of, like for you, hinging endurance has always been more of a limiting factor for you and more pressing endurance for me. So like for Kale, especially back in the day when Kale was getting more serious about competing, right? He would be doing a lot of sessions with high volume deadlifts and things like that.
A lot of lunges, things like that.
Like, because those were the things that he struggled with the most. It would not, for him, like we're kind of the complete opposite on that spectrum. Like I'm better at hinging endurance. That's probably one of my stronger suits. And for you, it's pressing endurance. And so it wouldn't have been very advantageous for Kel to continue to work on pressing endurance, right? Sure. Even though we as humans have a tendency to want to work on things that we're good at.
So you always want to do that.
Yeah. Like if Kel could just do what he wanted to do all the time, Kel would do a shitload of pressing all the time. Like Kel loves doing push jerks, right? And so, but that would not improve him as a well-balanced athlete overall. And so with the time that he had allowed, like that's where more of his time was spent was working on the hinging endurance, right?
You're going to get most of your bang for your buck doing that also.
Because you close that gap up, right? You're getting a better, you're bringing up the weekends, right? And then the weak points of your game. And then once that gets brought to a certain degree, right? And then there's something else now that has to be worked on, right? Like maybe
that's
now
the thing about CrossFit.
Yeah, maybe now your pulling endurance is not as good as, or in relative to the relationship to all your other things, it's just not as good. So now you have to work on your pulling endurance, right? And so that's kind of like the triage effect of would be. For most people, it's getting their general strength at first and then probably working on more of the muscular endurance side of things and then potentially working on the aerobic side of things. But I would say for most people, that's not where most of their time should be spent. I would say there's probably less than 20 to 10 people that I could maybe think of in the top of the gym that would benefit from doing just pure aerobic work.
Aerobic-based stuff.
Right, if you're just like, okay, I want to do extra work on what would you think be the most benefit to me improving overall, that I would probably prescribe to them and say, okay, aerobic-based training is probably where you would benefit the most.
Sure.
I would say that would be very small number of people in the gym that you would maybe consider that for. Most people would start off with some type of, and that happens like 90% of the time when somebody comes to us for like Hurricane X extra programming, it's usually more strength biased.
Yeah.
As to like what's the weak links in their chain. And then depending on what their goals are and things like that. And then let's say that their goal was like, hey, I really want to try to get better in workouts. What do you think I should do? It'd probably be first picking up your overall general strength and then working on the muscular endurance side of things. But kind of like you alluded to a little bit earlier in the podcast, endurance is so much easier to come by to compare to strength.
Sure.
Right?
Like so much easier.
It comes so much faster.
You can get your endurance back in like 2-3-ish.
Yeah.
Sometimes months.
Yeah. Like Terry's like a primary example of somebody like that where, you know, he would quit working out for 6 months, a year, 2 years.
This week, he got 5 rounds in that 400-meter run burpee workout.
Yeah.
And like 18 minutes something, he was just like, all right, I'm not going to go run another 400, but he could have if he wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
Like he's just one of those guys where.
Which that would have been probably the best time of the day.
Yeah. You know? Like he, he at first he gets his butt kicked for a couple weeks, and then after four to eight weeks, he's
back rocking and rolling,
right? He might not be as strong as he was, but his conditioning is a lot higher, right? It picks it ramps up very quickly. And I would say for most people that if you brought them in and they're deconditioned and they're not very strong, that you give me 90 days with them, their conditioning is going to improve a hell of a lot faster than their strength will be. Like, strength is such a slow moving process comparatively to endurance, especially with like a seasoned person. Like, let's say you take like me or you who've been doing it for a while. Yeah, been doing it for a while. That, you know, let's say maybe you take 6 months to focus on strength, right? Like, okay, you maybe increase your max is 5%.
I was about to say, right? Like, if you really think 5-10%, say, like, if I were to do this all over, I guarantee if I trained for 6 months again, I would just be getting back to my maxes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wouldn't even be touching PRs.
Sure. Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, you maybe get back to your threshold, but let's say maybe, you know, you were where you were. You know, okay, I'm going to take 6 months to, like, not really conditioning, but take 6 months just to strength. Maybe you increase your max is like 5% max. And then you're like, okay, now I'm going to switch gears to conditioning. It probably takes you half that time to feel like you're back to like peak conditioning, right? So like the first like month, you're like, you're sucking wind a lot. Second month, you're like, okay, I'm feeling back to normal. And the third month, you're like, surpass where you were, right? It's just kind of how it goes. And you're seeing a lot more rampage and increase in times and faster paces and things like that compared to strength is such a marginal thing.
You know, now that we've kind of talked about this for a second, I'm going to go back on the beginning of the podcast and say, I don't necessarily know if it's conditioning. I think it's more of like, people just don't know how to attack workouts. I think that's kind of where I was thinking. I don't think it's necessarily cardio. I think it's necessarily like just pacing your workout and understanding how a workout operates is like probably the biggest deal. And we talked about that in two podcasts.
Yeah. Well, like I can use myself as an example, like back in the day, and it's not necessarily cross related. So my senior year going into my freshman year of college that summer, I was becoming a lifeguard. Well, mm-hmm. It was, one of the tests you had to do as a lifeguard to pass, just swim 300 meters unbroken, I think, and under like, it was a good amount of cushion of time, but it could have been like 10 or 15 minutes. You had to swim 300 meters. And so I had never swam in an Olympic pool before, right? I could swim. It's just always in the backyard swimming pool, right? Like, you're talking, how long is that normal swimming pool? 15 feet?
15 feet, 20 feet
maybe. And so it's like, I'll race you to the other side, right? So you're literally, it's a sprint to the other side, right? And it's like 7 seconds and you're to the other side of the pool. And so that's the only swimming background I've ever had. And so it's probably about a month before the test. I was like, oh, I'll probably need to go see if I can swim 300 meters without stopping. And unbeknownst to me, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do 300 meters without stopping, no problem.
People who have swam before are probably laughing at this.
Oh, God. and you can be in great shape. If you don't know how to fucking swim, if you don't know how to fucking swim, it will wreck you, right? You're fighting against the water. It's so inefficient. It is a whole different realm of fitness to swim, especially swim properly. And so, anyways, I jump in the pool, go to spar, jump in the pool. I'm like, okay, and it's a 50-meter pool. I swim to the other side and felt like I was going to die. Like, gasping for air left and right. I'm like, there's no way. I had to take like a 5-minute break before I could swim down back the other way. And so, but the thing was, is I swam the 50 meters like I swam like I was in a backyard swimming pool.
Like, all out.
So, like, basically, I'm sprinting 50 meters. So, no shit, I'm gas, right? And so, kind of like what you said with people who first start, they just kind of, like, go.
Yeah.
And they hit that wall so quickly, right? Because they don't know any autoregulation. They don't know, okay, my heart rate's, I probably need to have my heart rate, like, slowly climb instead of just, like, spiking it within 2 minutes of a workout. And so kind of off center there, but yeah, obviously over the couple of weeks I learned obviously how to slow down my stroke rate in my swim and was able to accomplish the 300 meters under the time frame, whatever like that. But it took me a couple of weeks to get used to like pulling back a little bit and understanding pacing a little bit when it comes to swimming. But it's the same concept like we talked about in the last podcast, like most people, and we literally, that's pretty much the whole topic of the last podcast was like earning, understanding, like pacing better. Mm-hmm. And, so you don't completely implode, which I know I had like two people last week kind of say, hey, I listened to the podcast and they actually applied it to 24.1.
Oh, okay.
And it seemed to help them out a little bit. Nice. And so compared to most people who came out way too hard in that first 21 and then imploded in the round of 15. Right. And so, but anyways, kind of going back to the original topic of the whole entire podcast, like I said, it's, most people would benefit from focusing if they're going to spend extra time, focusing on things like your strength is probably going to be your more advantageous area to focus in on, or even how many people, and we've done a whole podcast on this, it's been a while now, that's probably been like over a year, and you still see a little bit to a degree is that people will quote unquote save themselves in the strength piece to do like to do the conditioning piece, and
we still have that. I feel like I have that conversation every week.
Yeah, like you still have people who don't want to burn themselves out for the workout, right? Because the workout is more important, quote unquote. And it's like you took your strength, even the strength in our classes more seriously, you would have more benefit in the 100%. Long run, right? Because so many people just kind of gloss over the strength piece through the conditioning piece, right? Because that's what takes the most energy and whatnot. And people will do a lot better job of tracking their information when it comes to the WADs than they will about their strength, right? Because if you guys obviously know our strength pieces, it's a progression over, you know, 6 week to 7 week time frame. And each week, you know, either adding weight or increasing reps, whatever it may be, and you talk to somebody like, hey, you know, what'd you do last week? Well, I don't know what I did. And it's like, well, fuck, man, you've been coming for 3 weeks, you don't know what you've done on the front squat each week.
You've been doing the same weight for 4 weeks.
Yeah, like, you're like, I don't know, that's whoever I partner with, that's who whatever they're doing. I'm like,
Or they partner hop.
You say like Chris Eisen does that? Yeah.
He got bullied into partner hopping yesterday and actually was good for him. So
okay.
Yeah.
On the deadlifts? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even if you're like, okay, dude, that's great and all, but you know, I'm coming on 4 days a week and I got any more time to dedicate, so really who gives a shit? Like, I'm not gonna dedicate any more time to it. I would say, you know, if you're kind of following that boat, like, put more emphasis into your strength components of each class and, like, actually jot down and know what you've done and each week progress that from week to week, and that will have carryover into your workouts, mm-hmm. no doubt about it. Like, obviously, we're not going to work on muscular endurance before a workout, right? We're not going to include a bike wall ball strength or leg endurance test before you're doing a workout, right? That would completely destroy you guys. But if you guys focus and put more emphasis into those strength pieces, that would help have some correlation over to your workouts to have better scores or, you know, climb up in the color rankings, whatever it may be. So instead of trying to put more focus on like the conditioning side of things. Yeah. So anything else you want to apply to that?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then I guess by the time most people listen to this, 24.2 have been announced pretty close to it.
Yeah. I mean, shit, we have, what, an hour and a half?
Something like somewhere that. Somewhere around there. It's, what, Jess Medeiros and Colt Mertens?
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to have a two-hour preview of some crap.
So apparently, you know that whole golden barbell thing?
Like
they only did it for the first workout.
Okay, they're done with that?
Yeah, they're done with that. Because I listened to, because Alexis Raftus was talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, yeah, the whole thing was kind of like dumb and weird, really. Like,
I imagine.
Because basically, you know, like, we're not going to sell our souls on
the
two, like, two workouts they did before. So they did Nasty Girls, too.
Did they do that the night before?
They did Nasty Girls the day before. Well, she said they actually went decently.
They went hard on that one, though.
And so they did the 5-minute cluster workout. And
they didn't go hard on that one.
They did, what, one every, like, 20 seconds or something like that?
I think the time to beat or the score to beat was, like, in the 90 reps range.
Yeah, I think Rich Froning had the best score in that workout.
And I was like, they're not touching that.
Yeah.
This open workout.
And so they're like, when do we know what the workout is? So we're not going to about sell our souls on this workout. And because literally we had no idea what the workout was. And then they announced the workout, and like 7 minutes later, we're doing the workout.
Doing it.
You saw they had to get assessed like a 3-second penalty.
They what?
They assessed them a 3-second penalty.
Who?
The athletes. Because, and nobody really did it here either, but you're supposed to have your back turned to the dumbbell.
They always do some stupid. stupid stuff.
Why? Why do they need to throw that in there?
Do you remember that wall walk double under workout?
Yeah, you had to start standing facing towards the wall.
Standing facing the wall, then you had to turn around, then get on the floor. Yes. I'm like, why can't you just start on the floor?
Why?
Like, what's the difference?
Why do you need, like, why did the athlete need to have their back turned to the dumbbell?
That's stupid. I hate that.
Like, what's, I guess because the reason is so, like, they don't bend over and grab the dumbbell before.
Maybe.
But, like, I don't know. Just make it more complicated than it has to be. You're making it more complicated. You the only standing that he has to say at the call, 3, 2, 1, go, the must be standing in a full upright position.
Yeah.
You can make it as simple as that. And also, you can't have your hand on the dumbbell, 3, 2, 1, go. Like, yeah.
Just make it like class walk.
Make it class walk. Like, that's all simple it is. Like, it does, they make it overly complicated. And the thing is, like, they make rules and they didn't even follow the whole damn rule on their own show. True.
And that's how they do it. That's most of the time what they do. So I feel like that's happened multiple times where you've watched an open announcement and then the people in the announcement have to redo the workout because of something like that.
They mess up something.
They always mess up something.
But they did some type of standard that wasn't, they didn't think about or whatever it may be, and they have to assess them a penalty or they have to completely redo the workout.
But I don't know. The more I think about this damn open workout, I feel like it's going to be an increasing weight workout.
Well, Leland invested in me yesterday because I had said the power clean, total bar, and wall ball. And he's like, I think it's going to be that. But the only thing I would say is that the power clean load is going to increase each time.
The more we've talked about this or gone through this podcast,
that's getting into like an earn it, like earn the heavy weights kind of deal. Not just a straight max.
No.
So I'll say, do you think it's an AMRAP or are you thinking like one of those things where.
I'm thinking straight up like the thruster. I think it was like thruster and chest bar. It was like thruster pull up, thruster chest bar, thruster bar muscle ups. You remember that one? And it was like a complex.
Yeah.
And the thruster weight went up every time. I think something like that.
So you know if they develop like the ones where, as an example, it could be, you know, you're doing, say you're doing 20 power cleans at 135 and like 20 total bars as an example, and you have 2 minutes to get it done as an example.
That's old school. I like those.
And like, but you have to get that done in 2 minutes to move on to the next stage. If you don't, you're knocked out.
Those hurt though. Those hurt.
And so I wonder if they would do something like that when they each round like
a little while.
Yeah. Right. Was last year like that though? With the last workout with the snatch workout.
Snatch
workout. So the last one was weird. The one was like it was. I think it started off with wall walking, double unders. It was like 95 pound snatches. Oh, and then it was like
3 minute window? Was it 3 minute
window? Was it 3 minute windows? And then the next one was like strict handstand push up, double under power snatch at another weight.
I should remember that.
Yeah. And the last one was like a wall facing handstand push up.
You're right. Yeah, I don't know. Think they do wall facing handstand push ups again this year?
Like
I
in the open?
I hate the handstand push up anyway, but that's a whole other topic.
What do you don't like?
They're changing of standards on handstand push-ups. Like, I feel like
I thought you liked the tape standard.
I like the tape standard. I do like the tape standard. But I'm like, I feel like they're still going to change it. They're going to find some other
way
can't to
find,
change the handstand push-up standard.
Yeah, they can't find a standard they really like.
And to me, I'm going to be honest, I don't think that there is a perfect standard for handstand push-ups.
The only one, if I said it's too difficult to probably implement, is... At least, I'm a little biased because I suck at handstand push-ups, so I don't like them as much. Is you have to kick into a handstand, and your head has to be a certain distance from the mat.
Okay.
And so you would create your lines from there.
From there.
Right, because my argument has always been, which you can make that argument with wall balls for a short person, I guess, or same thing with a rope climb or a lunge. But
I feel like person with really long arms though, or like a taller person would have the advantage on that one.
But what I'm saying is like, why is it, you can see it visually when it's, if you watch something like Heidi kick into a handstand, like the line handstand standard is an example of that, and do a handstand push up, her range of motion is so small.
Well, somebody like that, like the tape, like they're allowed, if your thumb's the only thing to be able to touch the tape, you can wide your hands out to the
edge. As long as to the edge, and take advantage of the standards
you
have. Right?
Absolutely.
And then you take somebody like, let's say, Lucas LaCour or Steven.
That's not a fair standard, though.
And his range of motion is so much longer, right? And like, how is that a fair standard? It'd be like saying you have to squat a certain width, regardless of how tall you are, or your hands have to be a certain width on the pull-up bar.
Mm-hmm. But and once again, I think CrossFit is just one of, it's a sport where everybody is so different. Everybody's going to have so many strengths and so many weaknesses that there's just going to be movements like that that you're never going to be able to perfect.
Yeah. And like I said, maybe I'm biased towards it. I think it's like you'd be just better off saying, hey, Hanson walk or wall walk.
Sure.
And like just, I'll say I'm biased because I said Hanson push-ups, but I'm like, or just get rid of the damn movement altogether.
Or say Hanson push-ups for the quarters or semis or something.
In my opinion.
I like the wall facing.
Though. In my opinion. Now, it's obviously more of an extreme movement, but it should be, in my opinion, probably the easiest method would be to always do a deficit.
I was going
to
say like parallel or something.
If you do a parallel or a deficit,
yeah.
That's fair. Then you have to do a certain thing. Like your arms have to be at a certain width no matter what to achieve the deficit of what you have. And I think that equals out the playing field. I mean, obviously you're still advantage of people who are good at hands and pushups regardless. But I'm like, you evens it out to where like now the standard is kind of the same now where the limb length is not as crucial to compared to like on the floor where if you're 5 foot, two compared to somebody who's 6 foot two, using the same tape standard on an upside down movement.
Once again, if you're Colton Mertens or Brent Fikowski, there's going to be a big difference.
It's a big difference, so that's always my hang up with it. And I know they've tried multiple different years to like, try to make it to where it's a little bit more balanced. Like they've done like the forearm standard and like the overall, the hand overhead standard.
I don't think I minded the hand overhead standard.
No, if anything, I felt like
that was probably one of the better.
And once again, like it was kind of one of those things I felt like it equaled out the playing field because a lot of people bitched that year about that. And like, I think the reason why most of you guys are bitching about the standard is because now you're pressing in a normal pressing center that tall people now have to press from.
Well, also,
because you're used to all your pressing in a very wide range, so you're way out here, and now that I'm bringing your hands back into shoulder width now, you're not used to pressing that way, and it's a lot harder.
You get fatigued way faster. But also, like, I felt like no matter if you were really good at handstand push-ups, middle of the pack, or really bad at them, you had to, like, actually, like, think about the lockout of each rep. To make sure that your heels.
But then you had to flex your toes down. You had to
flex your toes down. If you didn't even flex your toes, like you were not getting that rep. Yeah. No matter who you were.
If you don't know what we're talking about, like there was a standard. They did two different standards. One where it was essentially like you had to put your elbow against the wall, and there's like a certain distance of your forearm, that went above your height of your head, and you drew a line on the wall. So everybody's line was completely different from one another. And the standard was in your locked out handstand push-up, your heels had to be above that line. Sure. And they did another year where you had to like put your arms overhead and like the crease of your wrist was your line. And once again, like everybody's line standard was different that year, like the height. So it equaled it out a little bit for people who were shorter compared to taller, right? Compared to the current standard or like the two standards they've done before, like the current line standard is, 10 inches away from the wall, 32 inches in length. Something has to be touching the tape line. Or the old 2x3 box where your hands just had to be somewhere inside the box. And my argument is with those two standards is that how is that fair to somebody who's a lot taller of a person, a lot longer limb length, compared to somebody who's shorter with a lot shorter limb length, that's a humongous advantage now that you're giving to that person. So I don't agree with that. I feel like they have to find something that's a little bit more
advantageous for everybody.
Advantageous to everybody where it's not such a humongous advantage for somebody who's shorter.
Sure.
But that's just me. But anyways, that's enough competition across the talk.
All done.
So, but if you guys got anything out of this, let us know. And then hopefully I don't fuck up this podcast and delete it all.
We did so good with F words to the very end.
All right, guys. Later.